The message is part of a series, and you'll find the insert in your bulletin on the one side. It has the outline for this morning's sermon, and on the back side is the Sunday school lesson that we have been talking about early on Sunday mornings at about 9 o'clock, but it also has, we've made it so that you can use it yourself for home devotions or look at the action steps, particularly at the bottom. And see how this applies to daily life. But it is related to this theme of humanity and the story that we heard of the Gospel of Mark and this healing that happens. The interesting thing about Mark chapter 1, though, is that it is a story that really puts Jesus front and center in the gospel story. It's a story of contrasts. And what that means is that Jesus comes and he not only works with the evil spirit, but he also works with the scribes. That there's issues on both sides of things. On the one hand, we have the scribes who think they know everything, who think they are the ones who are the proper teachers of the people of Israel. And on the other hand, there's the man with the unclean spirit, which represents the chaos of daily life, which represents the difficulties of daily life. The scribes are the law and order people. The scribes would have been like the preachers back then, or the Sunday school teachers. They were on the side of law and order. Everything had to be in its place. They had to have their diploma. They had to have the proper credentials to be preachers. And when Jesus comes in and he doesn't have those credentials, they want to challenge him. On the other hand, almost the opposite end of the spectrum, is this man with the unclean spirit who comes into a worship service and is acting out in such a way that it disrupts everybody. So you have on the one side the button-down people, the people who are always dressed properly, who have the tailored suits and the robes, and on the other hand, you have chaos and confusion. Both of them are separated from God, though. That's the real interesting thing. That the most interesting contrast is between Jesus and humanity. Both the scribes are far from Jesus and the man with the unclean spirit. Both of them have to come into the middle. They have to have their rough edges shaved off and put into the middle. And I'll tell you how that works. The sense of the scribes is something that I sort of have in myself. I'm a law and order kind of guy, and I sort of identify with the scribes. I went to seminary. I spent a lot of time. I spent some money. I spent time learning Greek and Hebrew, and I'm the kind of guy who, in most aspects of my life, kind of follows things by law and order, by the rules. But I can remember in seminary, at our final luncheon, our final picnic, we were having a gigantic luncheon to celebrate that we were finally done, and the whole campus was invited, and friends and family were invited. Now, I went to Pittsburgh Seminary down in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, right down the road here, in the border between Highland Park and East Liberty, and it is surrounded, the seminary surrounded, there's a high school on the one side, and East Liberty's on the other side, and then there's homes on the other side. But it's a pretty active place, the point being. There's a lot of activity going on there. And so as we were all getting in line for hot dogs and hamburgers and things like that, there were two kids who rode by on their bikes, two African-American kids who rode by on their bikes. They couldn't have been more than, I don't know, 11 or 12 years old. And they saw that we were all standing in line waiting for something to eat, so they parked their bikes out in front of the seminary, and they got in line. And they weren't part of the seminary community, but there was plenty of food. There was a lot of food. I mean, there was enough food that we all could have eaten 4, 5, 6 times. And I will never forget watching as one of the student body people, I think it was the student body president, she came up and said to them, she said, you know, I'm glad you're here and everything, but this is really an invitation only kind of thing. And I thought, oh, what a missed opportunity. I mean, is it really going to kill us to give 2 hot dogs or 2 hamburgers and a couple of Cokes to these 2 kids? The next time they pass by this seminary, they're going to think that's the place where they weren't welcome. And I thought, what a missed opportunity. What a terrible opportunity. And if you've ever driven past the seminary, how many of you know where it is or know what it looks like? Not many. One does, because she lived there. That's my wife, Jennifer. Two do. There are big, huge, sort of like our fence, wrought iron fence. Yeah, but they've got big spikes on the top. Very intimidating looking. And I thought, what a missed opportunity. Those two kids are never going to think of this as a place of welcome. They're always going to think of it as a place that they were denied entrance. And I thought it was a terrible missed opportunity. I understand it here, because like I said, I'm that kind of guy. I'm the rule kind of guy. You call ahead. You make reservations. I get that. That's what the scribes were like. If you didn't follow the rules, then you're out of the list. But Jesus doesn't buy into the scribes' way of thinking. He doesn't buy into the scribes' worldview. On the other hand, there's this chaotic worldview. I like to think of this as sort of like the Tasmanian devil side of things. This is where everything's just going crazy. And there are some people who take that too far. Some people who go too far into the Tasmanian devil kind of thing. But there are ways in which we can learn that Jesus affects both of us. Jesus comes to both of us, whether we are the law and order kind of person or we are the chaos kind of person. And in both ways, Jesus interferes both with the work of the scribes and with the chaos of the demon. I can remember when I was studying in Leeds, in England, and there was a wonderful little church around the corner from where we lived, and they had a Sunday night service, and I don't know whatever made me decide to go into that church that night. I think it was cold, and they had lights on inside, and so you could see from inside. It was a very picturesque kind of thing. You could see the lights from outside, how beautiful it was. And I came, and there were less people than there are in this room right now. I think there were three people. I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. And all of a sudden, the group home of adults with handicaps came in. And they came in, and it was the biggest hooting and hollering kind of thing you ever saw. It was the most interesting service because the Anglican church that I was in, and most Anglican churches, have a very set way of doing things. There's a very set way. Here's what happens first, here's what happens next, here's what happens next. Well, a lot of these folks did not have the mental aptitude to follow any of that kind of thing, particularly closely. So in the middle of a particular prayer response, one of the people would say, "Is this over yet?" In the next part of the service, somebody would say, "When do we get to that part where we get to eat?" Meaning the communion part. It was the most wonderful service ever, but it was this chaotic thing where, I mean, all of us could have fit right up here in the choir loft. And I was never so touched by the faith that's childlike. You know, Jesus says that if you accept the faith like a little child, you'll enter into the kingdom of God. We had a baptism today that reminds us of that kind of thing. Jesus talks to people who are chaotic as well. Jesus talks to us when we're the chaotic kind of person, when we're the person who's tripped and fallen many, many times, and we keep wanting to get up, when we're the person who has the evil demon. Now, the reason Mark, I think, emphasizes that this man is possessed by a demon rather than something else, this is more important than another healing, is because being possessed by a demon is something that only Jesus can treat. If it's a healing, you can go to a doctor, right? If it's something that that could be treated by other means, then why do you need Jesus? Mark is trying to tell us that if you're a law and order kind of person, or if you're the chaos kind of person, we still need Jesus. There's a big gulf between humanity and God, and that only Jesus is the bridge for that gulf. That's the point of this story. That's the essential story in a nutshell. That Jesus drives out evil spirits, but he also drives out our stubbornness and our reluctance to convert to his way of thinking. That Jesus is the bridge, that whether we have lost Jesus because we were too eager to play by the rules and invite those young men in to share a feast with us, or if we've lost Jesus because we're too chaotic and we can't settle ourselves down enough to pay attention. We're too chaotic. We're too excited by stimulus out in the world, video games and television and all sorts of things, or our job, our daily job, or our family. Either way, Jesus says, I'm the bridge between humanity and God. And that is what Mark chapter 1 wants us to know. That the only bridge, the only way for us to reach God is through Jesus. Amen. Congregational prayer concerns the flowers.